Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that Scott Richards is made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And the toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@LizBrown.com. That's revolution@LizBrown.com. Get up, get to me. And don't forget, the International Urban Institute meets tomorrow, every Saturday at 9 o'clock. That's at 1020 North Taylor. That's 1020 North Taylor. You need to get up. Oh, that's right. That means get up on a Saturday and join us at the International Urban Institute. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. And after this break, how about this? After this break, we are going to get to our guest for Looking Black. Let me get to a couple of our callers, and then we'll get to our guest. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I'm outstanding.
And the fox that was over the hen house, he's not resigning either, is it? The page of watch.
No, nobody's resigning.
And if you listen to Hasker, he haven't apologized for nothing. Now, if you listen to him speak, what he said was, we take response. Who is the we he talking about?
Well, I'm not as much concerned as the responsibility piece. Where is the responsibility? There have to be consequences to wrong actions. He says three things that do not, that cannot be in the same sentence together. He says, I apologize. I take responsibility. Oh, no, no. He said, I take responsibility. I'm deeply sorry, and I did nothing wrong. Those things cannot exist in a sentence together.
And he also said that they said the buck stopped here. He didn't say he said the buck stopped
here. Fair enough. He said that's what they say. They say the buck, you're absolutely right.
About what he said.
But if you didn't do anything wrong, what are you apologizing for? And if you're taking responsibility, where are the consequences to your wrong action?
What I'm saying is these parents that's running in behind these Republicans seem like they were, and it's somewhere in the Bible where somebody sacrificed something.
Mm.
They kid or something.
Mm, that's what they're doing. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will be talking with my guest for Looking Black, John X. Miller, the Director of Community Affairs for the Detroit Free Press, joining us from Detroit. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Looking for Cards playoff tickets? Then log on to WGNU.net. AM 920 has teamed up with Tickets Now to help you find all the Cards playoff tickets you want. WGNU.net for the tickets that matter most to you.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 920 AM, 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Luanga Center.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next, from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Looking Black. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this week is John X. Miller. He is the Director of Community Affairs for the Detroit Free Press, and he's joining us from Detroit. John, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Very good. Well, you have some things going on over there in Detroit. Teacher stuff? It's October.
Yeah, it's October. The teacher strike, we have a 16-day teacher strike back last of August into the start of September that kept schools closed for nearly 2 weeks, and there were some acrimonious discussions, debates, or however you want to characterize it, protests about what was needed by our teachers in order to get them back into the classroom, because they were on strike because they voted almost unanimously not to start school this year because of some protracted contract issues that had languished over the last several years. The reasons they'd languished is because this is the first time we've had an elected school board in Detroit in about 6 years, and it was only seated in January.
So the school board was seated in January, and then came the problems with the contracts, or?
Problems with the contracts existed before
okay.
the strike. And actually, some of those circumstances were postponed because they were under the auspices of the appointed school board.
Gotcha.
And they wanted to delay that until they had an elected school board in place to make sure they could move forward.
So what were some of the issues that the teachers were raising with their contract concerns?
Well, firstly, there were some givebacks that they'd given in early negotiations a year or two earlier, prior to this year. So they wanted those givebacks put back into the contract, and they also wanted to make sure that they got a reasonable pay raises guaranteed for 2 or 3 years.
And where are we? The teachers
kids
are back.
Kids are back in school. They've been back in school now for about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the extracurricular activities continued even though school was out. So there's normalcy back in the classrooms in Detroit, with the exception of what they've counted to be about 25,000 students fewer from last year. And some of those students, they believe, are migrated to charter schools and migrated to some other schools in the region because parents just wanted their kids in school.
Talk to us about the presence of charter schools in the Detroit area. How do they work? How many of those are there? And do you expect that there's going to be more after this strike?
I think there are going to be more, not necessarily just simply as an aftermath of the strike. There are lots of charter schools in and around Detroit, and those schools are run by various organizations. As a matter of fact, I believe on the state ballot this year is going to be a referendum to allow more institutions to be able to charter schools. So there are going to be more. There are different levels of charter schools, some run by organizations, some run by churches, not run by churches, but run in conjunction with churches, because the charter schools of Michigan have to be accredited by universities. So there are going to be more, and one of the issues, of course, is the money that's being siphoned off from public schools to go to charter schools. But there's also the siphoning off of students and educators and people who are coming to the region, moving into the region, aren't necessarily thinking about putting their kids in Detroit public schools, even though they may even work in Detroit.
Well, what do the charter schools look like in terms of their academic success or failure? Here in the city of St. Louis, they're only in Missouri, there are only two places where charter schools can locate, Kansas City and St. Louis, places where there are the largest populations of people of African descent. And when the numbers came out, the charter schools are all either doing worse than the St. Louis public schools and doing worse than the Kansas City public schools. What do they look like in Detroit?
I think they run the gamut, to tell you the truth, because there was been studies of some of the schools now based upon the criteria that cuts across parochial charter schools and public schools, and some of the charter schools are doing well depending on the environment in which they're supervised. They have certified teachers, they have language classes, they have classes that get kids to achieve better than average on the standardized test. And from grade to grade, that you can see some definitive progress. But in other schools, those that maybe perhaps are standalone, the results are still up in the air. The one thing that I think that is the benefits of Michigan is that there are many charter schools. And once they are being, once they've been evaluated on the academic rigors and test scores, and whether it's No Child Left Behind or whether it's some requirements now, for instance, that Michigan has put in place to make sure that, for instance, everybody who graduates from high school has to have a certain number of credits in algebra and math and science. So once those criteria are put in place and once the schools across the board are judged by those, well, we're moving toward a better standardization of knowing how well they succeed or not.
How long have charter schools been around in Detroit?
Not only in Detroit, but in Michigan. Okay. I think it's been around about 10 years.
Really? And there's no – they don't know yet?
Well, they know in terms of
because we have to evaluate ours every 2 years.
Now, there's been no standardization of it, okay? You see, so that's one of the issues. You can compare MEET scores across district. MEET scores are standardized test scores for students in Michigan. You can compare those scores. And again, because there's so many of them, some succeed at a level higher, some succeed average, and some don't succeed. So there's no black or white definitive answer on whether they work or not yet, because they're still, because there's so many of them, some do well, some don't.
And when you said there's so many of them, what kind of numbers are we talking about?
I'd say probably in and around Detroit, because we're not just talking, well, we are talking Detroit specifically, but the issue is larger than Detroit. I mean, when you talked about charter schools being centralized in two cities in Missouri, that's different than in Michigan. So in and around Detroit, I think we probably have about 35, 40 charter schools.
And throughout the Michigan area,
about 80.
About 80. Okay, so in terms of the impact of the strike overall, what are people saying that the impact is going to be, let alone, I mean, aside from the fact that these days that the kids are going to have to make up, did the teachers, do they feel like that they gained what they needed to gain? Did they go back into their jobs ahead of the game or behind?
Well, okay, from reading and talking to folks, three things that come to mind. Firstly, is the fact that they lost about 25,000 students, which is a huge number, which amounts to about $80 million, from what I read. And that means that, firstly, where is that money going to come back into the district, and are they going to have to try to recruit these students back into the district? Or the alternative of changing the district altogether, because with an elected school board, they have a different mission to determine what happens versus an appointed school board. Second issue is that the teachers union, they're back at work, but they are mounting a recall election against the school board president and named Reverend Jimmy Womack. So,
and what are the reasons for that?
The reasons being that they believe that he was not working in the best interest of children and teachers in the negotiation process that just concluded. So that's why they're.
Well, is it normally when people do a recall like that, there's one issue that kind of pushes them over the edge, but there have been issues before that. Were there issues before that with the Reverend?
Yes, there were, and too many to me to kind of enunciate, but there were. But the fact of the matter is that the politics of it is what's paramount in a lot of cases. About why reasons of things are done, not specific because there was a issue that went unresolved or wasn't resolved in their favor.
So what are the politics of it?
The politics of it is that he's a minister and a politician that runs in opposition of the school board. And in Detroit politics, there have been numerous recall elections against public officials on the city council and the school board. Some have succeeded, some haven't. But mostly it's because people are agitated and saying, I don't agree with what he did or his process, and we want him out, even though they just put him in there less than a year ago.
Mm.
You see, so the ultimate goal might not be to get him out. It just might be to raise so much rancor that he becomes ineffective.
And are these paid positions?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so how much money are these school board?
I don't know offhand.
Okay, so when we talk about the difference between the appointed school board and the elected school board, can you give us the history of how we got from one to another and back again?
Okay, and this has been about 10 years in the making.
Okay.
And it started essentially, I believe, right around 1999, May of 1999, when then Governor Engler dissolved the Detroit School Board. I may not be 100% accurate in saying dissolved. It may be he didn't actually dissolve it in terms of legislatively, but politically saying that it was ineffective and that with a working relationship with then Mayor Archer, decided on appointing a number of people to the school board who they would agree on, and because the school district was such in dire financial straits. At that point, the elected school board was dissolved. I believe seven people were appointed, and then they hired a CEO to run the district named David Adamany, who was professionally a doctor, but had been administrator at one of the universities and hospitals around Detroit. He was there for about a year and a half, and then Dr. David Burnley was appointed superintendent.
Okay.
And all that time, the school district has been downsizing.
Mm.
Losing students.
Well, we have to take a break here. I'm talking to John X. Miller. This is Looking Black. My name is Liz Brown. We will be back. Stay with us.
St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Preparation H. Northbound 270 at 55 and Big Bend, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for no problems or report. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor through Hanley, look for stop-and-go traffic due to the sun. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270 is heavy. Eastbound 70 from K through Mid Rivers, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 5570 ramp to Tudor is closed while they're doing some deck repair work. Westbound Eastbridge traffic is moving well from the Illinois Bank in. Westbound Kingbridge traffic has an earlier accident that's been cleared, but there's still traffic jammed from the interstate all the way into downtown. And all your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge, expect delays. And Highway WW and Highway Y, there are reports of a roadway closed due to an earlier fatality accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Preparation H. Carry Preparation H portable wipes, convenient little packets that hold very big wipes to cleanse, cool, and soothe even when you're not at home. Preparation H portable wipes, big relief to go. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, sunny skies, high in the upper 60s this evening, mostly clear, with a low in the upper 40s. For Saturday, warmer, sunny, high in the upper 70s. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the mid 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 46. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? That's right, that's right, that's right. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home. Get on over to 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Leaf mulcher, no problem. Tools, no problem. Sears, get on over there, get your shop on, and when you do, tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Hey,
Looking Black, The Week in Review, The Week Ahead, and Differing Perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. My guest journalist this morning is John X. Miller. He's the Director of Community Affairs at the Detroit Free Press. He's joining us from Detroit. And, John, welcome back.
Thank you.
So we're talking about the evolution of the Detroit School Board from an elected board to an appointed board and back again.
That's right. And where we are at this point is the school board is trying to figure out strategically where it's going to be headed because, firstly, the superintendent's contract is up next summer. So he's up for being rehired, and they're also making progress in trying to find a replacement. So that process is underway. The other thing is that the school is constantly losing students and has been for the last 5 or 6 years. And again, as I said earlier, they're either going to charter schools or they're going to public schools in and around Detroit. So the strategic direction of the district is going to be determined a lot about around the funding of and closing of older schools, rebuilding some schools, and building new schools. So that will probably include another $1 billion bond in order to do some of that. So there's a lot that's still kind of up in the air. And as I said, the board's really only been in place less than a year. So they're still trying to learn how to work with each other and make sure that, as they move ahead with some really critical issues, for the future of the district, that they begin to kind of work together.
And how do the parents of the Detroit Public School District, how do they, what's the relationship with the board? What's their involvement? Can we distinguish them out and say that there is a good parental involvement in this board process or in the school district itself?
There is kind of a grassroots involvement that brings people to the school boards, that brought people out supporting the teachers and some people supporting the district and trying to get kids in school. So teachers are being helped. People in the schools are being helped by this sense of involvement that I think that's one positive thing that came out of the strike is that people understood that they needed to be reattached to the conversation and to make sure that they understood what was happening in the lives of their kids.
Mm. And what size of a district are we talking about, John? How many kids?
Right now, because count day, which is the day in which all the students are counted, was about 2 weeks ago. I think the district right now is about at 130,000 students. Mm. One point it was about at 180,000 students about 5 years ago.
And do we still have the type of efforts or actions of people leaving the city of Detroit? I mean, is the school size consistent with people leaving, or has that been slowed somewhat?
Well, not really in terms of people leaving Detroit. The census data is unclear on that because some people are leaving and some people are coming in. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are coming in are ones who generally don't have children or they are putting their kids into Detroit Public School, but there's so many leaving, that increase is slight versus the departure kids.
Right.
But there are some people moving into Detroit, but they don't necessarily are the ones that have kids. The other issue about the size of the school district is that it has been chronically shrinking. So that's a reality that the school district is going to have to deal with in terms of some of the things that they've talked about, not publicly necessarily at board meetings, but people have been talking, administrators have been talking in the community about, for instance, breaking the district up into smaller districts so that it becomes more manageable in terms of dollars and infrastructure. And then the whole issue of health care costs, and all the pension costs and all the costs that go along with a teacher's contract. So those things are going to be on the table as they move forward because they recognize they can't proceed in the future as they've done in the past.
So how are the politicians weighing in on this?
To tell you the truth, most politicians right now, this is because it's no longer in a strike or a crisis mode. It's kind of taken a backseat priority to the November election, which is about 4 weeks away, and a initiative on the ballot called the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative.
What's that?
That is a sheep in a wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm sorry. It is a ballot that's, it's a ballot initiative number two that's on the ballot for statewide voting called the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative. But essentially what it says, it will ban preferences in government and in public schools, anything doing with the public sector, that would ban the use of race, ethnicity, and gender in the selection process.
And what kind of traction is that getting across the state?
Okay, polling is best we got in determining what people are thinking. And right now, it looks like it might lose, which is a good thing because it says it's the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, but essentially what it is, it's going to ban affirmative action in the state of Michigan by putting in the Constitution. And there are a lot of people united against it, including public officials, both people who are running for governor. Governor General Granholm, who's the incumbent, and Dick DeVos, who's a Republican challenger, have come out against it, saying people should vote no against it. And there are other organizations like One Michigan, which is a group that says, of businesses and politicians and lawyers and just a great coalition that says, don't vote for this measure because it will strip away a lot of the advantages that have come along with recognizing that the playing field wasn't even in the first place and affirmative action was really needed for people of color and women.
Well, one of we have a big and important race that is going on here in Missouri, the senatorial race between Claire McCaskill and Jim Talent. And one of the issues that people, or one of the observations that people are making is that we need to make certain that we have the energy in the state to you know, get our base out and move on this issue. Is there a lot of energy in Detroit? Is that the major, or in Michigan, is that the major issue on the ballot?
Oh, that and the governor's race.
Okay.
So the governor's race is going to bring people to vote, and this is going to get a high percentage of those voters voting for or against it. Mm-hmm. The issue is the language and people kind of misunderstanding what it's actually about and the realization and manifestation of what affirmative action really looks like when it's played out versus the rhetoric that's coming from Republican side in particular.
And what does your gubernatorial race look like? What's that?
Gubernatorial race between Granholm and DeVos. The incumbent, in polling tells us that she's a few percentage points ahead. And this last week, there was a debate, several debates, between the two candidates, and the first one ignited a story that's still on the front pages of both newspapers. The governor saying that DeVos had owned stock in a nursing home chain that abused some of its patients, and as a major stockholder, he should have known that and gotten rid of the stock because he's a multimillionaire. So she made this a point because there have been issues in and around our state of nursing home care, of domestic violence, and of issues surrounding child services. So that whole idea of caring for those in need, she raised that specter in the first debate, and now the newspapers and other media are trying to find out if that is indeed true.
So it's gotten traction.
Yeah, it has. It has. So that's going to bring people to the ballot. And that's one of the things that I think that will help once people understand the language about the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative.
And is there a lot of money being poured into that race, the Michigan so-called Civil Rights Initiative?
No, actually, surprisingly not. And actually, that's some of the conversation that's happening here in Detroit about, you know, why isn't it happening on the side of the Democratic Party? And, you know, let's get out the vote in Detroit because we've got to defeat this. This is aimed directly at people of color. And if we don't get out and vote in Detroit, then the aftermath of that, it will play out in ways seen and unseen right in our backyard.
So do you think that that's the intention of those who introduced this, that it would be kind of a sleeper thing, that by just calling it the civil rights bill and not talking a lot about it, it would slip through?
Well, I'm kind of laughing because if people have been paying attention to this the last 6 months, that's exactly what people are saying.
Mm.
For instance, a lot of the ballots were challenged in court to saying that people who signed, not the ballots, I'm sorry, the petitions. Were challenged in court because people did not know what they were signing.
Mm.
They went before the state elections board. They went before the state Supreme Court. Then they filed a suit in circuit court saying that fraud got this on the ballot. Despite that, it appears that it is going to be on the ballot, and there's still litigation, there's still discussion about taking it off. But the whole issue about how it got on the ballot is central to this obfuscation of what the true intent of it might have been.
And the way that they're running the campaign to win it. You know, what we all we have to do is call it the civil rights and then don't say anything else. And more than likely, just like the way that they got it, I guess, the petition signed.
Exactly right. And then the other issue that's thrown into this is that it emanated out of the University of Michigan, which the affirmative action case came out of that was decided at the U.S. Supreme Court a couple of years ago, and Ward Conley.
Mm.
Ward Conley has been to Michigan several times, has been talked about and talked with in the newspapers and on media around here. So he's a person, along with a woman who was denied admission to the University of Michigan, are the two people who've been pushing it in Michigan the last 3 or 4 years.
Mm. I'm talking to John X. Miller. He's the Director of Community Affairs. This is Looking Black. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back after this. Stay with us.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Join us each Friday from 1 to 2 as we explore the world of writing with local and not-so-local authors. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
Speaking about Amendment 2, Missouri native and cancer survivor Cheryl Crow.
As a Missouri native and cancer survivor, I strongly support Amendment 2, the Stem Cell Initiative. That's why I'm joining with patient and medical groups to urge you to vote yes. Voting yes ensures that Missourians will have access to stem cell treatments that could provide cures for cancer, diabetes, Parkinson's, and many other diseases.
A yes vote on 2 is supported by over 100 nonprofit patient and medical groups, including the American Association for Cancer Research, American Diabetes Association, Society for Women's Health Research, Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research, and Missouri State Medical Association.
Please join us and vote yes on 2. It could save the life of someone you love.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. Sandra Ost, Treasurer.
Hello, I'm Lucille Mitchell of the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast. The Seventh-day Adventist churches in the St. Louis area present the broadcast every Sunday morning. The focus of the program lies in the areas of health, family, prophecy, and the gospel. For information that you can use in your own life, listen every Sunday morning at 9 for the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast right here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one smothers light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Looking Black, the Week in Review. The Week Ahead, in Differing Perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. My guest journalist this morning is John X. Miller. He is the Director of Community Affairs with the Detroit Free Press, joining us from Detroit. We have the so-called civil rights bill that's on the ballot in Michigan. John, are there any other congressional races, senatorial races that are going to be pushing people to the poll there in Michigan?
there's also a Senate race between a first-term senator by the name of Debbie Stabenow and a Republican challenger is a guy by the name of Mike Bouchard, who's a county sheriff in Oakland County. It looks like Stabenow is going to win that race. She's ahead in double digits percentage points right now in polling. But it's the governor's race that's going to drive people to the polls. And what we need to get people to understand, at least here in Michigan, is that the voting process is in some cases trying to be taken away from us. So we need to be very vigilant to make sure that we register and get out to vote and exercise the one right that we have that we know that people died for and that we know people sacrificed for year over year. And if we don't exercise that franchise, then what happens to us is that we become further and further behind.
Well, when you talk about the voting right kind of being taken away from people, here in the state of Missouri, we had a particularly odious so-called voter ID bill that basically turned into a poll tax, and it was challenged. And the lower court said, no, you can't have this voter ID bill, and it's right now in the Missouri Supreme Court. The decision is supposed to come down in a day or so. Is there something like that going on in the state of Michigan?
Fortunately not. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking kind of globally, and in your case and in mm-hmm. other cases in the South where this is happening. No, I'm just more saying that over time, if we don't exercise that right, then in some ways it's going to be tried to be reversed on us.
Well, how have the voting turnouts been with respect to people of African descent? Are you seeing each election cycle fewer people voting? Do people make the connection with the quality of their life and the political environment that they find themselves in?
I think it really depends on what they're voting on, if it's a primary or a general election, and what's on the ballot. I think as typically there's a bigger turnout when there's a general election versus primaries, but in an area like Detroit where the Democratic primary is really the election mm-hmm. because there's so little Republican opposition, I think people are engaged in those elections. So I think those who are politically astute know that here in Detroit, the primaries are just as important as a general election. But now that we have the general election and Detroit is central to that in terms of Democratic stronghold, then I think people also understand that it's important to do it. Now, we've registered a lot of voters over the last 3 or 4 years, so we just need to activate that vote to get the people to the polls.
One of the challenges that confronts us here in the city of St. Louis and Kansas City is the challenge of that's where most black folks are located or are concentrated in the state of Missouri. And there is a concern that is articulated every election cycle that the Democratic Party pays attention to the community of African descent when we have our general elections. Do we have that dynamic existing in Michigan with the concentration of black folks in Detroit?
We have some of that. I think there is a lot of consternation at times about what the Democratic Party isn't doing for people of color, particularly people of African descent here in Detroit. So that discussion is going on as well. Because I guess about 6 months ago, there was an ad in the Michigan Chronicle that characterized the Democratic Party as aligning itself with Adolf Hitler and saying, you know, Jesse Owens wouldn't shake hands with Adolf Hitler, and neither would he shake hands with Jesse Owens wouldn't have his hand shook by Franklin Roosevelt. So the ad equated Hitler and Roosevelt and the Democratic Party because they wouldn't shake hands with Owens.
It was pretty
ludicrous, but it got people talking about, you know, where are we on this scale of connectivity with the Democratic Party?
Mm-hmm.
I think that did energize the discussion. And I think people do realize that the Democratic Party, and that's why the question is being asked now with the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, why is the Democratic Party putting more money into advertising that we can see in the Detroit market? We know that doesn't necessarily affect us in the Detroit market as far as getting the message across and the importance of it because we understand it. But what messages are being sent across the state to make sure this thing is voted in?
Well, the other piece of it is that I don't know that the ads need to be run for understanding of it, but it certainly would be an energizing thing to see, have people get a vested interest in coming out, turning out for this particular election.
Well, and you're right. Now, there were some ads on television, 6 months ago. But as we're a month away, I think people are saying, are we going to see more of them? So
there
has been some on television.
Mm-hmm.
That had been an absence, but they just say, hey, you know, it's the ninth inning, so to speak, and, you know, we got to make sure that we get this issue on everybody's radar screen in the media.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of other political issues, are there predictions going on about what the turnout is going to be? Is there any sense of what the again the energy of the campaign? Are we feeling it? Or
yeah, I think people are feeling it, particularly people who are in the neighborhoods and on the street. But and everything from the weather is cooperating to you know the Tigers being in the playoffs. So there's a high level of energy in the community, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think that gets people talking, gets people out, gets kind of the blood of the community moving, so to speak. But I think what's going to be necessary as we move into the last 30 days of the campaign is more information about what DeVos is really up to and what the governor's record is,
mm-hmm.
and the ramifications and of what the Michigan Civil Rights Initiatives will or won't do, and the idea of making sure that those people who are registered get out to vote.
Kwame's mom is now the chairman of the CBC.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of impact does that have for Detroit? What does that bring to Detroit?
Well, Detroit has always been central to anything, whether dealing with civil rights and dealing with the movement of people of African descent in politics and in business. So I would imagine that what that's going to mean is just a higher profile in our community. We know that we already have John Conyers here as a long-serving representative. So that's just going to raise our profile and probably bring more symposia, more workshop here to Detroit, and also raise our profile on Capitol Hill and thereby bring more clout to Detroit.
And speaking of John Conyers, he is in a very, 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 very safe district. And he gets, 90% of the vote or whatever. Is there energy? Is there energy out there or understanding out there of the need to change the majority in the House of Representatives in order to specifically push John Conyers to a chairmanship? Is that one of the things that's being pushed or energizing the base on that issue?
To tell you the truth, it's the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative. I mean, for instance, in a public forum earlier this week, Conyers said, I'm not even going to, you know, run for re-election. You know who I am. You know what I do. I'm going to go out and campaign to vote down Proposal 2.
Mm.
So he...
Do you think that's a missed opportunity in terms of the energy of the Republican, of the senatorial race? Or is it just everybody, there aren't going to be any changes in Michigan, so there's no push there?
I think it's about the reality of what is going to affect people in their home state and in their pocketbooks and in their schools,
mm-hmm.
Here in Michigan. Because, you know, everybody politically understands that, yeah, if there's a flip in the U.S. House of Representatives, that Conyers will be a power broker.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't focus on that here because we know we're already going to get him back.
There you go. Okay.
To the House.
So
the most important issue that's going to affect people here in Michigan is the Civil Rights Initiative.
All right, let me get to a caller or two here. Yes, you have a question for our guest, John X. Miller.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying your guest, a native St. Louis now living in the Michigan-Detroit area. I heard him speak on the governor's race. I was wondering, could he elaborate a little bit on that? It was supposed to be like $19 million or something DeVos got in tax cuts as a result of a kickback that he did on the political scene. Are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with that ad that's been running on television.
Thank you.
I haven't seen any evidence of that being the truth or not. You know, there's a certain truthiness to it, but I haven't seen anybody really verify that information. What we do know, though, is that DeVos has spent, you know, 20 plus million of his dollars to campaign around the state. And in the first debate on Monday night with Governor Granholm, his details of what his administration would look like, his details on his financial plan, particularly to deal with a statewide tax that just was eliminated, were very imprecise. And he used a lot of rhetoric as opposed to specificity. So I think people are now beginning to delve into exactly what is his background now that some of it's been exposed. And that may come to light whether he actually did get that in this last minute bill in the U.S. House.
Mm. So empty suit question.
Yes. yes. Those are beginning to come up more and more. And early on, he got a lot of clout and a lot of mileage from his, what we have been characterized as, not Wall Street commercials, but Madison Avenue commercials.
Mm.
Because they really did portray him in a really good light without much specificity. And after this first debate, and there's been another, there will be another this coming week, I think people are beginning to see that there's not enough specificity there or experience in governance that can give him enough clout to unseat a sitting governor.
Very good. John X. Miller, Director of Community Affairs for the Detroit Free Press. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz. I always enjoy talking to you and your viewers, your listeners.
Thank you so much. I enjoy having you on. Take care, and have a great weekend.
That's me.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake-up call. I will be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black.
For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Still burning. A chemical plant fire is still going full speed in Apex, North Carolina. It's not far from Raleigh. Thousands have already been evacuated, and more are expected to be told that they will too need to leave their homes in the coming hours. Mayor Keith Weatherly says so far, though, they've been very lucky as far as injuries are concerned.
We still haven't been told of any medical problems other than the police and one firefighter, I believe.
And now the real threat here, obviously, is a threat to the environment. There's a chemical cloud that now covers most of the city, and it is spreading, and the plume of smoke can be seen for almost 2 miles. We're learning more about that incident in Indianapolis involving Steven Jackson of the Pacers. This is what happened. Apparently, he fired a gun outside a strip club, and then there was a vehicle accident involved. Sergeant Matt Mount brings us up to date on this.
Some statements say that he may have been firing into the air. That is being investigated. He did have a permit for the weapon.
And again, that incident is being investigated. More young congressional pages have told ABC News that they got what they called sexual approaches and computer messages from former Congressman Mark Foley. ABC's Steve Taylor has details from Washington.
Speaker Dennis Hastert said yesterday that he takes responsibility for the Page scandal but will not resign over it. He also said if he learns that his staff members knew early about the Foley problem and didn't tell him, he'll deal with them. And three more former pages say they got computer messages from Foley. They say he talked about their bodies and his and asked for pictures and more.
That's ABC's Steve Taylor in Washington. You won't be able to buy a Snickers bar in school anymore under an agreement to cut the fat, sugar, and salt in snacks sold in schools. Former President Clinton worked out the agreement with several major food companies. This is ABC News.
Ever wonder how Columbus felt when he discovered America? Now you can at Lowe's Discover Columbus Day Values event. Right now, all special order flooring is 20% off. Get a $5 mail-in rebate on 1 gallon or a $20 mail-in rebate on 5 gallons of Olympic Premium paint. Put it all on your Lowe's consumer credit card and ask for 12 months special financing on any purchase of $299 or more now through October 9th. See store for details. Hurry into Lowe's to discover Columbus Day values you won't find anywhere else. Lowe's, let's build something together.
If you drive a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury and need service, there's never been a better time for great deals than right now. It's the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. You'll find special offers by the truckload on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. All installed by Ford factory-trained experts. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event ends soon.
Some Star Trek fans went where their credit cards had never gone before, into the hundreds, even thousands of dollars for some one-of-a-kind memorabilia. live long and prosper. Here's ABC's Chuck Severson.
So would you say the three-day Star Trek auction opened with a big bang? The model of the Starship Enterprise was expected to raise up to $12,000, but the winning bid was $132,000.
Even life itself is an exercise in exceptions.
The bazooka-style prop rifle, valued at most $800, went for over $19,000. A captain's chair, once belonging to Jean-Luc Picard on the Starship Enterprise, was expected to sell for $9,000, but the winning bid was $52,000. Though it's supposedly for the duff of a spacecraft's top officer, it's imitation leather.
There can be no justice.
Yeah, so it's a little sweaty. Chuck Severson, ABC News, New York.
Dave, you're still scrounging around your closet wondering what to wear to work today. Pull out those jeans. It's National Denim Day. Lee is sponsoring it. Companies nationwide taking part. You can wear your jeans in exchange for a $5 contribution to the Susan Komen Breast Cancer Foundation. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a Marine, Illinois man is charged in what police believe to be a random shooting in a garage. 25-year-old Travis Cavaness is charged with aggravated discharge of a firearm in the incident Tuesday night at Goodall Sports Services. A bullet went through a customer's pant leg but didn't strike him. Cavaness is also charged with residential burglary in connection with a home break-in this week. A local Marine will be honored tomorrow at the Eureka Firefighters Backdraft Rodeo. Corporal Riley Baker of Eureka was killed in June while serving his second tour of duty in Iraq. Scott Barthelmass, a spokesperson for the Eureka Fire Protection District, says it's important to pay tribute to those serving our country.
The soldiers that are overseas or separated from their families and are giving a lot to our country and a lot for our country. And we wanted to honor one individual as a representation of all the soldiers and show their support to them. We look to them as being our heroes.
The event runs today through Sunday at Lions Park in downtown Eureka. Call 636-938-5505 for more information. Finally this hour, the Cardinals will be back home this weekend looking to sweep the San Diego Padres out of the playoffs. The Cards took a 2-0 lead in the National League Division Series yesterday with a 2-0 win. Game 3 of the best-of-5 series is set for Saturday at noon at Busch Stadium. This WGNU News report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. October is Fall Car Care Month. Prepare your Toyota for the winter by visiting your St. Louis area Toyota service centers for a tire inspection and winterization service. Toyota, a smart choice. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Westbound 40 between 270 and Mason, that incident has been cleared. Westbound 70 at Bryan Road, look for an accident. It's been cleared, but you may see some residual delays. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Big Bend, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to New Florissant, look for heavy volume in pockets. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through Mid Rivers Mall, look for slow traffic. Westbound to Eastbridge traffic is moving well still into downtown. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit through Glades Landing, look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. And all your other approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some slow traffic going on. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Also, Highway WW at Highway T, look for a serious accident from this morning. And you may want to use Fairview Church Road as an alternate because it is closed at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. McDonald's is celebrating the Cards postseason by bringing back Big Mac sandwiches for a dollar every day the Cardinals play. Limit 2 per customer. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Sunny today, high in the upper 60s. This evening, clear with a low in the upper 40s. Saturday, warmer, sunny, high in the upper 70s. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 47 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 47 under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. A little later on in this hour, we're going to be talking to Akbar Muhammad. We're going to be talking about Minister Louis Farrakhan, his condition, where we are. So that's going to happen in about 6 minutes here. And until then, we need to listen to a couple of other things. They don't care about us. They don't care about us. They don't care about our children. They only care about power and maintaining it. Listen, I want you to listen to Daniel Chuchi. He's a former page. And listen to his words. And I want to kind of deconstruct his words, but listen to him. Hit that for me, Howard. Daniel Chuchi. The former page. We need to deconstruct what it is that he is saying, and where he feels forced. Because when you listen to the words of Dennis Hassert, he says, "I've done nothing wrong. The buck stops here. I apologize." Listen to Daniel.
He just seemed very overly interested in everything that I was saying. And he was asking me about what's my favorite subject, how's my family life, who are my roommates. And it just seemed very odd. probably from day two, I knew that Foley was gay. I don't think that a 54-year-old man needs to be talking about a 16-year-old boy about such things. It is not fair to punish the pages, former pages, and future pages for the actions of a congressman.
And here's the thing. When you listen to the statements from Daniel Chiucci, the former page, he says, I don't think it's fair to punish the pages for the actions of one congressman. But, you know, and that's why you have adults making the right decision. We have a United States Congress who is incapable. The Democrats are incapable of making the Republicans do right. The Republicans are incapable of doing right. And I'm not saying that I believe one way or another that the cover-up would not have been attempted by either party. You know, I'm not here to say that I believe that the Democrats would have not tried to cover this up as well if power laid in the balance of it. We're supposed to be the grown-ups out here, you know. So the fact of the matter is that they're not paying attention to the children. And the reason why I believe, given what we've seen so far, that the program needs to be ended, and the pages may see it as a punishment to them, but if Congress is more interested in building a wall to keep Mexicans out of America than building a wall to keep pedophile Congress people from getting at our children, and the pedophile protectors that were more concerned about keeping their majority than protecting our children, then the program has to end. They cannot stop themselves, and they've shown no interest in stopping themselves. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to. Stay with me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like a flower. Waiting to bloom, like a light bulb in a dark room. I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me. One of the issues that I've received lots and lots of calls on and lots of emails on is what is happening with the condition of Minister Louis Farrakhan. It's been in people's hearts and minds. They want to know. And today I'm fortunate to have on the phone and joining us in the studio here, Akbar Muhammad, to talk about that. Akbar, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Okay, fine. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good, good. Well, thank you very much, Liz, for giving us a few minutes to talk about the issue of Minister Farrakhan's health. And for brothers and sisters who are Muslims in the audience, I want to say assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. You know, we're fasting the month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
And to us, this is a special Ramadan because thousands and thousands of Muslims across the country, in particular while they're fasting, are fasting and praying for the health of Minister Farrakhan. I was blessed this week. I've been in Chicago all week and to see him two times and to sit and talk. And his concern, Liz, is the future of, quite naturally, the Nation of Islam and black people in America. And because his health, I can't get on the radio this morning and say, well, the minister's doing well, he's improving, he's going to be all right, because that is not the case. It's day by day. And he has good days and bad days. I personally feel that with the proper rest and the decision that he's made in consultation with his doctors, that he has to back up from the day-to-day responsibility of running the Nation of Islam, the tremendous amount of traveling that he does. And, you know, I'm always out of St. Louis traveling with him. And also his speaking engagements. You know, there's his short lectures are 2 hours. Standard is three. And he's standing there doing that, and then continuous appointments and interviews and then handling personal affairs of the nation and letters and overseas correspondence and so forth. And it's a lot on a man who is trying to heal from the prostate cancer problem. And the problem, the cancer's out of his body, but the radiation has done severe damage. And unless there's some kind of surgery that he would go under again, which would not be good, then he has to rest. He has to rest and allow the body to go through a process of healing, and that's what his doctors have recommended. So as hard as it is, Liz, on us who depend on him, and the kind of organization or nation that we have, the man at the center who is the cement that holds things together. And if I'm traveling overseas to speak at a conference of heads of state in his behalf, I could pick up a phone and call him and get some directions of how he sees my presentation. And, you know, when you don't have that person there that you can do that day in and day out, you feel the vacuum, the void, mm-hmm. you know, in your personal life and in other ways. So it is a trying time for the Muslim community. But I want everyone to know that he sends his love and greetings, and he would hope that we would work together to solve the many issues that we are challenged with across America. So, Liz, I was listening to the last comment of what's happening in the Congress. And, you know, when you go inside of yourself, it reminds you of the fall of ancient Rome.
Mm.
And those who would just review that history, how the Romans turned on each other, how they hired foreigners that they had conquered to fight their wars, and how all kind of lewd and behavior and debauchery was going on within the Roman Senate. And this is what America is in right now. The people that they have hired to fight their wars are the poor, disenfranchised, the blacks and the Hispanics, and poor whites across this country, where the rich, and I think that Michael Moore made it clear when he started questioning congressmen about their sons in the Iraq.
That's right.
And so they've hired the disenfranchised, the private contractors that are paying young boys $1,000 a day to fight in this illicit war that Bush has got America involved in and has actually messed up the world. So when you were talking about that, Liz, as I was listening this morning, only thing would come to my mind was that how God brought down ancient Rome and she began to turn on herself. And then you had the soothsayers in the streets of Rome predicting her fall, as now the latest book by George McGovern and the book by this Washington reporter, Bob Woodward, and they're all predicting the unraveling of the American system because Bush put his foot into circumstances for him and the rest of the boys to make money and control the oil. And meanwhile, the poor people suffer across this country.
And people are suffering in ways that were unimaginable. I mean, outside of a Hollywood movie, unimaginable. The things that are being taken away. The torture bill that was signed that gives George Bush the authority to decide whether it's torture or not.
Yeah. Listen, Liz, I want to say that he started off by saying that these people hate us because we are free.
Mm-mm.
And from the time that he opened his mouth and made that ridiculous statement, he began to strip away the freedoms of people in America and began to strip away all of our freedoms. So I guess they must hate us less now because we are less free since he started this madness in the Middle East.
Well, maybe that's the strategy.
Yes, to strip away our freedoms here in America. But I just wanted to say, Liz, in the few minutes that I'm on this morning, that Minister Farrakhan sends everyone his love and greetings. The Nation of Islam, we have a council now.
How does that work?
Well, it works that we have chosen elders and the officials, and we rule by consensus. We agree on things that are in front of us, and the consensus of the council makes the decision for the nation. And it's according to, you know, Islam is based on scripture. You know, this is not an organization that a couple of people sat in a room and said, we're going to build an organization called the Nation of Islam, but it's based on scripture. So in our Holy Quran, the 42nd chapter is called Shura, or council. And this is given to us through Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that the people who are responsible for the leadership of a community should come together in council with one another. And what rules at the table are the best ideas that are in the interest of the community that we serve. So that's the way it will work. And, you know, it's...
Do we know who sits on the council?
Yes, we have... there are officials on the council, Brother Minister Ishmael, the minister's chief of staff, his national secretary, his sister who's in charge, of protocol, Akbar Muhammad, and these are in the supreme captain of the Nation of Islam. That's the basic council.
Mm-hmm.
And that council will, and as long as the minister is with us, we don't want to be asking him every day if he's resting and pulling back. We can't call him every minute.
That kind of defeats the purpose of rest, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. But if we ever reach an impasse, then he said that I'm here for you as long as I'm here. Mm-hmm. But we have to get used to making those kind of decisions. And, Liz, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not easy, but with God's help, we hope to be able to go through it. I want to say one other thing. You're going into your break time. This weekend, Liz, is the 109th birthday of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Wow.
And we're having what we call Iftar, Breaking of the Fast Saturday, in East St. Louis at the mosque there. And I'm going to deliver a talk on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's life. And then on Sunday, all of the Muslims will meet in East St. Louis on Sunday. And because this is a week before our 11th anniversary of the historical Million Man March, which we'll have a satellite feed from Chicago that will discuss the minister's health, which will be Sunday, next Sunday the 15th in the afternoon. But this weekend, October the 7th and 8th, we will all be in East St. Louis.
When you talk to the minister, and you talked about, and he talked about the state of people of African descent, and you had that conversation, does he have any regrets, any feelings of what wasn't able to be done when he was healthy?
Well, one thing that he did express and is that we started what we call the ministry, that servicing of our people, the needs of our people. One of the reasons that he went to Cuba was to understand how the Cuban system went, where everything wasn't going after the accumulation of capital wealth, but how human beings could serve the needs of their brothers and sisters. And he wanted to use the nation to expand that, to make it inclusive and not exclusive. Last night we had an excellent meeting at the Millions More Movement office with people from the community who could be a part of these ministries. And so he said, and he's pushing the idea to us who are on this council, that the Nation of Islam must be of service to the needs of black people in this country, black people in the diaspora. So that's one of the things, and that we started that late last October, but he wants us to move forward with it.
And you can stay with us, can't you?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I'll be back with Akbar Muhammad. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Preparation Age. Eastbound 40 at Spady and Big Bend, there's stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant, look for no problems report. Eastbound 70 at between T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic going on there as well. Westbound Eastbridge traffic is moving well from the Illinois Bank into downtown. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit to Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is on the move. And everything else rolling into downtown, you can expect some delays. Highway WW at Highway Y, there's a serious accident this morning. As a result, they've closed the highway due to accident reconstruction. You can use Fairview Church Road as an alternate route. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Preparation H. Preparation H cream relieves burning, itching, and also gives you maximum strength pain relief on contact. Nighttime is the right time, too, for Preparation H cream. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Sunny, high in the upper 60s. This evening, clear with a low in the upper 40s. Saturday, warmer, sunny, high in the upper 70s. Saturday evening, clear with a low in the mid-50s. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently, we have 47 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 47 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? 3425 Union, you can find washers and dryers and refrigerators and dishwashers and microwaves and leaf mulchers and tools, everything that you need to turn your home into a palace, the best customer service in the state of Missouri, the best location. Get on down to Sears at 3425 Union, 3425 Union, Sears. Where else?
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, volunteer leader, or head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that matter to you. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
Just like a well-built house needs a good design and plan, so do our lives. This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby.
Two life coaches. Please join us as we take your questions about designing your life. We'll discuss life planning, following through, and the obstacles that get in the way.
This is your weekly chance to get some answers you've been looking for. We hope you'll join us on The Design Life on WGNU every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm talking to Akbar Muhammad. Akbar, welcome back.
Thank you.
I know you can only spend a few more minutes with us.
Yes. Thank you, Liz. Liz, can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Okay. First, Liz, I want to thank you very much for this opportunity to talk about the minister's health, but I would certainly like to pick a day. I'm going to be in town up until Wednesday of next week, and if we can pick a time that you can put some of the questions and I can take callers from some of the brothers and sisters in our radio audience.
Absolutely.
About the minister's concern is that as he issued a letter about his health. I don't know if you saw a copy of it.
I absolutely did see,
okay.
see the letter.
And we could explore that and then take some questions from the brothers and sisters in our community here. But I hope that the brothers and sisters who are free tomorrow evening at 6:30 will join us in East St. Louis. And I'll try to open the floor for some questions both Saturday and Sunday.
And what's the address of the mosque there?
2216 State Street in East St. Louis. We start at 6:30 tomorrow evening, right after the sun goes down, break fast. The food will be absolutely free. This is the spirit of Ramadan. We try to have free dinners in the evening. And then on Sunday morning, the next day, the 8th, it's at 10 a.m. at the same location.
Very good. That's 2216 State Street in East St. Louis.
Yes.
Very good. So then you will be joining us sometime next week.
Yes, Liz, and if we work out the date, I'll be available. I don't leave until Wednesday afternoon.
Very good.
So either one of the days. And, Liz, I hope that off the line that we can talk for a minute today.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much, as always, Akbar.
Okay.
Take care. 1-877-920-WGNU. Bob.
Yes, sir. Just real quick, and there you go. It's a pleasure to have you on the line. So what I want to know this morning is, you said something that struck me. You said that you guys want to be for the black people. Here in St. Louis, sir, we have a chapter in the NAACP.
Bob, Akbar has left the building. So he's not on the line with us anymore.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but he will be back on next week for a longer period of time. But you can go ahead and we can discuss your question in anticipation of his response to it.
Okay, well, my question is, does he have anything to do with the chapter? And if he does, it's a sorry chapter. I got in some trouble with a police department, and they came in my house. And Liz, I do some singing. And at the time, I was taping while I was singing. When I came in, the tape was steady rolling. Well, I was called racial slurs and everything. I had it on tape. So my family was like, good, this is really awesome. We got it. We called the NAACP, contacted them. They said, oh, we'll love to have this. We'll go forward with it. Never called back. I mean, I kept calling. They kept saying, we got your message. We'll call.
Do you still have the tape, Bob?
Yes, I do.
You know what? Well, then, you know what? Maybe we can play the tape on the show.
Okay.
I think that would be a really, really good thing. How long ago was this?
This was in 2005, like about February.
So we're talking about a year ago.
Yes.
A little less. Oh, absolutely. And this is here in the city?
Right, in Normandy.
Okay, absolutely.
So I'll give my information to Howard.
Okay, absolutely. I'm going to put you on hold and let you give the information to Howard, and we will absolutely, we'll do that next week. Shoot.
Thank you.
All right, Bob, because the NAACP in the city of St. Louis and in this region is very, very, very lacking in so many different ways.
Right, and that just turned me bitter against them real badly, and that's why I was trying to see when he said he was for us. I wanted to hear his outtake on the St. Louis chapter, because they didn't even say, well, come on down, let me hear it. Nothing. They wouldn't even call me back. I called him over and over, so I just wouldn't even call him back.
All right. I can't wait to hear it, Bob.
Okay, Liz.
I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. I weep for our nation and where we find ourselves. I weep. We've been talking about this for years and years and years. And years. I listen to the attempts to the desire and the attempts and the desire to turn this discussion about Mark Foley into a discussion about sexual orientation. This is about gay men wanting gay young men. And you know what's missing in that discussion? You know what's missing in that position? You know what's missing in that position? It's kind of like it's the fruit of the poisonous tree. It's the fruit of the poisonous tree of what used to be said about, and what is still said, quite sadly, about women who are raped. That the way that a woman dresses can invite a rapist. If you wear a skirt that's too short or a skirt that is short, or a dress that, or a blouse that is as low cut, that you invite rapists. And implicit in that worldview is that you, the victim, has done something to bring this act of violence upon you. And that it is somehow your responsibility. You're involved in the decision making somehow of a person to commit a crime like this against you. Rape is an act of violence. It has nothing to do with sex, any more than hitting somebody on the top of the head with a baseball bat has to do with sex. It is a crime of violence. Period dot. Predatory behavior towards children is not about sex. It's not about a gay man wanting sex with a 16-year-old. It is about a predatory act, a crime, an act of violence against children. That's what being a pedophile is. That is what being a predator is about. That is what any 52-year-old person that is attempting to engage in a sexual act with a child, it is a crime. It's an act of violence. Irrespective of sexual orientation. It's not about sexual orientation. It's about violence. No more than a man takes a bat and hits over the head another man with a bat. I don't have anything to do with who, what he's, what turns him, what pulls him sexually. It has to do with an act of violence. And when you hear these people, these monsters out here saying, like this Hassert, listen to Hassert. Listen to the excuses offered up by Hassert. They don't care about children. They're not interested in children.
I don't know who knew what when. We know that there are reports of people that knew it and kind of fed it out or leaked it to the press. That's why we've asked for investigation to find who that is.
We don't know who knew what. What are you talking about? Your leadership brought it to you. We do know who, what, who knew what, when, and where. We know who knew what, when. They told you that a 52-year-old man was sending an email to a page, a 16-year-old page, asking him to send him his picture. We know that the boy's parents came to your leadership. We know that your leadership told you. We know that your leadership said to Foley, leave that 16-year-old boy alone. We know that it stopped there. We do know who, what, where. We know what. Leaked it to the press. The job with every citizen is in America is when you see a crime, you report it. In the world of politics and Republicans who want to keep their majority, that's called a leak. When a child is being pursued by a 52-year-old man, that is a crime. You are supposed to report the crime. And in the world of Dennis Hazard, somebody leaked this, huh? You had a responsibility to report the crime. Instead, you've recharacterized the crime and engaged in the behavior of protecting your majority. Shame on you. A pox on your house. And pray for our babies. My name is Liz Brown. I'm not done here. Stay with me.
Speaking about Amendment 2, Missouri native and cancer survivor Cheryl Crow.
As a Missouri native and cancer survivor, I strongly support Amendment 2, the Stem Cell Initiative. That's why I'm joining with patient and medical groups to urge you to vote yes. Voting yes ensures that Missourians will have access to stem cell treatments that could provide cures for cancer, diabetes, Parkinson's, and many other diseases.
A yes vote on 2 is supported by over 100 nonprofit patient and medical groups, including the American Association for Cancer Research, American Diabetes Association, Society for Women's Health Research, Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research, and Missouri State Medical Association.
Please join us and vote yes on 2. It could save the life of someone you love.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. Sandra Ost, Treasurer.
Hi, this is Lizbeth Tanz, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program. Each Friday, my co-host Connie Mitchell and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects, so come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Miss Brown, I'd like to know if you knew anything about Gary Studs.
Gary Studs. He's a Democrat who was having he engaged in a sexual act with a 17-year-old. He was about 36 years old at the time. In 1982 is when the story came to light. He admitted it. He said he didn't care and he was going to run for office. He didn't do anything wrong and he was reelected until he was retired. I think that that is outrageous. I don't think that he should have been reelected.
Things, you know, that they didn't bring out very much of the time.
I've known about that. I'm a historian. I've known about it. But the fact of the matter is that what he did with one person with a child is absolutely reprehensible. He was 36 years old, and this was a 17-year-old.
And he was appointed
to
a very important job too, wasn't it?
Well,
by the Democrats.
Okay, but here is the difference.
Wait a minute.
There are a number of things that what the media was capable of getting us information in 1982 is a whole lot different than what is happening in 2006 with internet, with YouTube, with all kinds of things. But also, we need to talk about the distinction with this case. What this case is that we have a person, one person, that is in charge of one program. The one program is the interns program. Dennis Hassert is in charge of that program. It was brought to Dennis Hassert that there was an email where a 52-year-old man was asking for photographs of a 16-year-old child. The parents brought that to the leadership. The leadership told the top of the ticket.
Now,
the top of the
they didn't bring it to.
Yes, they did. You have. Well, yes, they did. He said that. And Dennis Hassert said.
Wait a minute.
You want to go back 30 years to 1982 and then 10 years beyond that, I mean back to 1970-something, you want to go back over 30 years to talk about the sexually perverted act of one Democrat and say, and then she ran away. Okay, I understand why you ran away. Then you want to say that Dennis Hassert didn't know. Shame on you. And here's the other piece. If Dennis Hassert didn't know about this, he should lose his job. Whether he knew or he didn't know, he should lose his job. Because what was the famous phrase that Dennis Hassert said? Wasn't it a Republican that made that statement? The buck stops here. If Dennis Hassert, in charge of the interns, did not protect the interns from a pedophile, Dennis Hassert should lose his job. And you can go back and name every other Democrat that has done something wrong, that has engaged in pedophile behavior. They all should be punished. And whether they were punished or not is not the issue, because reality check, this isn't about partisanship. This is about right here, right now, knowing what we know. We know more in the year 2006 about how much harm is brought to a child when a sexual predator is let loose on them. We know more in 2006 than we knew in 1973. We must act like responsible adults and address it accordingly. The only thing that's making you shake in your boots, the only thing that is making you concerned, is because the same thing that Dennis Hassert is concerned about, losing the majority. You put partisan issues, partisan power above the issues of a child. You should not be, they should not be in governance, and shame on you for defending them. Shame on you for defending them. Tim.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I have to say, I agree with pretty much 100% of what you're saying. But the knife does cut both ways. I don't know really, we've got the Senate race going on here. And I really don't know what Jim Talent's positions are. I haven't heard him talk about this.
Oh, and for FOI, on Meet the Press on Sunday morning, Jim Talent and Claire McCaskill square off.
I'm gonna watch that. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
But I'm not sure what his position is on this Foley issue.
Good question.
I do know though that Claire McCaskill. The Mel Reynolds thing where Bill Clinton pardoned him.
But remember, but Tim, let's say all of it now. Mel Reynolds also went to jail. Mel Reynolds also lost his job. Mel Reynolds went to jail for that, and for having sex with a 16-year-old, as he should have. He also went to jail for mail fraud. And he had done his time with the sexual assault of the child, and Bill Clinton pardoned him for the mail fraud piece. Go ahead.
Right, but he commuted his sentence.
Right.
For the other.
Right.
And he did get out.
Right, and that's wrong. That's wrong.
And that's wrong.
I have no question. No, it's wrong. Now what?
Where do we go from here? She's got Bill Clinton out here campaigning for her, and you know.
Wait a minute. Okay, if we're going to talk...
But I agree with you that this Foley guy ought to go to jail, and Hastert ought to be run out of the house.
Okay, and everybody that worked with Hastert should be run out of the house.
Yeah, and I think to really clean this up, anybody that's doing this ought to be basically banished for life from politics, you know, and that includes the Clintons, that includes any of these Republicans that are in the middle of this. You know, how far does this go? I mean, it's got to stop.
One of the ways...
You can't argue about the issues anymore. You got to talk about...
But this is the issue. This is an issue, and it's an issue about how far an individual or a party, because this is the party that's in charge, how far this party has gone to keep their majority. And if they would go this far at the expense of children to keep their majority, how can they be effective leaders? So this does speak to the issues of the day. It speaks to the most fundamental of issues.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Liz, but what I'm saying is if you go, you turn it over to the Democrats now, it's going to be the same thing. It's just we're playing ping pong with these
guys.
Well,
the difference is that with respect to turning it over to the Democrats right now, the problem with the Republicans right now is that they have the House, they have the Senate, and they have the presidency. There has to be some kind of balance so that somebody can at least be concerned about the opposition party telling on them. Right now, there's nobody to tell on the Republicans because they control everything. So as a stop measure right now, there has to be somebody that at least appears to be in the position of keeping people that are absolutely out of control because they control things absolutely, put somebody in there to take away from the absolute power that these people have. And then we also need to begin with the other cleaning of the House as well and the Senate as well. I mean, does that make sense to you?
It's hard to argue with you there. My only thing is that I'm not for a one-party system. I mean, we had that in the Soviet Union, and we've got it in China now.
Well, we need four parties. We need five parties. We need more than two parties in charge. That's the problem.
I agree.
That's the problem.
What's happened is the two parties have sort of become one party.
Exactly. That's why we've got to get somebody else in there to stop some of what's happening with the absolute clear power of the Republicans.
Right. And not to sound partisan again, but when this stuff came up about this congressman a couple months ago with these FBI files. And Hastert stood up there and said, "Well, I don't think that the executive branch should have access to what Congress is doing." Well, you know, if Congress is breaking the law, they need to be investigated.
No, they didn't say that. Neither one of them said, "I don't think that the FBI should have access to what Congress is doing."
They had a search warrant to go in there and get that information.
And they said that there were rules of the House that were violated as a result of the way that they executed that search warrant. I didn't hear a single politician saying that the FBI should not have been able to go in there and get this stuff. It was the rule that was there that there was a question, and I think that the question should be ferreted out. Did they have the authority in that? And the judge ruled on it that they did. So there you go. I mean, they're entitled to raise the issue because there is a rule in place that brings into question whether or not the FBI did have the authority to go in there. And since they do, they need to go into Hastert's office and everybody else's office and get all of the information about this what happened with this intern.
I agree again.
All right, then.
You're right.
Okay. But I got to roll, Tim. But thanks for your call, okay?
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Marty.
You know what? There's a story out there. They said that they were warning the pages about this guy when pages went in to work for him.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing about it is if they're warning the pages and they knew about it, and people still want to turn their backs to the fact of what this guy is capable of, that shows that there's a problem. There's a problem in Congress right off the bat, you know, with this party,
and that's
really sad. You know, they're practically giving this guy a free hand to do whatever he's going to do.
Absolutely.
And then one of the other things is. like you said, we need as many parties as we can get, because it's like in that movie that Will Smith was in about
Enemy of the State.
Right. So the thing that his wife said, we need monitors to monitor the monitors who's monitoring this and monitor, and just need to keep going on.
There
you know?
Go. There you go. If we had four parties, like other countries have well more than two parties, if we had four or five viable parties, the whole world would change. The whole world would change.
Definitely, because we cannot let, you know, like you say, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that's what we're seeing. And if people want to close their eyes to the fact, they want to just open their eyes to another, just want to open up another, way of doing things, you know?
Absolutely. Thanks for your call, Marty.
You're welcome.
My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back at you after the break. Stay with me.
Train that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you stand?
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many
are for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Sorry, sure, quitting, forget it. ABC's Steve Taylor has more on the GOP leadership's damage control as a Capitol Hill sex scandal unfolds.
House Speaker Dennis Hastert said he's responsible for, but will not resign over, the Page scandal. He says a bipartisan House investigation will go wherever the evidence leads. Meanwhile, three more former Pages tell ABC News they got sexual computer messages from former Congressman Mark Foley.
But at least one poll says the damage may have already been done. ABC News Chief Washington Correspondent George Stephanopoulos.
Time magazine poll out this morning shows that of Americans aware of this scandal, and 80% of them are, two-thirds think the Republicans were covering something up. It also shows that a significant number of those say they're less likely to vote for Republicans as a result.
ABC News also talked to three former Capitol Hill pages who say they received inappropriate emails from Foley. At least 17,000 residents of Apex, North Carolina have been told to leave their homes, and more evacuations may be coming as a fire at a chemical plant burns out of control. This woman got word in the middle of the night.
They began talking about the explosion, and I kept hearing a boom. And I got up and went and stood at the window in my dining room, and I could hear.
Officials say injuries so far have been minor. Good or bad, ABC's Pam Coulter takes a look at the mixed employment picture for September.
The jobless rate dropped a statistically insignificant 0.1% to 4.6%, and job production was a lot lower than expected. 51,000 people were added to payrolls last month, less than half of what analysts predicted, and new evidence the economy has slowed. On the plus side, employment gains for July and August were bigger than originally estimated, an addition of about 60,000 jobs.
Dow and NASDAQ both down in early going. This is ABC News.
Ever wonder how Columbus felt when he discovered America? Now you can at Lowe's Discover Columbus Day Values event. Right now, all special order flooring is 20% off. Get a $5 mail-in rebate on 1 gallon or a $20 mail-in rebate on 5 gallons of Olympic Premium paint. Put it all on your Lowe's consumer credit card and ask for 12 months special financing on any purchase of $299 or more now through October 9th. See store for details. Hurry into Lowe's to discover Columbus Day Values you won't find anywhere else. Lowe's, let's build something together.
If you drive a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury and need service, there's never been a better time for great deals than right now.
All right, now.
It's the Right Now factory authorized service event at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. You'll find special offers by the truckload on tires, brakes, batteries, and more, all installed by Ford factory trained experts. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, the Right Now factory authorized service event ends soon.
Police in Indianapolis are looking into an altercation outside a strip club. They say four players for the NBA's Indiana Pacers were involved.
Indianapolis Police Department Sergeant Matt Mount says four Indiana Pacers players, Steven Jackson, Marquise Daniels, Jimmy Hunter, and Jamal Tinsley, were at a strip club when a fight began.
During their visit, as they were getting ready to leave, there was a verbal altercation that had begun that turned into a physical confrontation out in the parking lot.
That altercation involved Jackson, who was injured when he was hit by a car and thrown up onto the vehicle's hood. Witnesses tell police Jackson pulled out a 9mm pistol and fired several shots. Police say it doesn't appear anyone was hit by any of those bullets and no one involved in the incident has been arrested. Stan Dostrevsky, ABC News, Indianapolis.
Former President Bill Clinton and the American Heart Association are teaming up to fight the ongoing battle of childhood obesity. They'll announce today that they've partnered with some big food companies to offer health healthier snacks for schools, less fat, sugar, sodium, and calories. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, today marks the fourth anniversary of the disappearance of an 11-year-old Washington County boy. Sean Hornbeck was last seen riding his green mountain bike along Highway A in his hometown of Richwoods on October 6, 2002. Sean's stepfather, Craig Akers, says he still has hope. A remembrance ceremony will be held at the Richwoods Lions Club at 6 o'clock tonight. Anyone with any information about Sean's disappearance is urged to call 866-400-5353. The Republican candidate for St. Louis County Executive will host a meeting this weekend on eminent domain abuse. Joe Passanisi says this isn't a political meeting, despite the fact he's running for office. He says there's not enough public input into how eminent domain is used. Passanisi says the recommendations made in the meeting will be forwarded to state lawmakers for consideration. The meeting will be held from 3 to 5 Saturday afternoon at the St. Louis County Library headquarters. Finally this hour, a new study finds The Daily Show with Jon Stewart offers as much substantive news on politics as traditional nightly national newscasts. Indiana University Assistant Professor of Telecommunications Julia Fox says she and other researchers did a second-by-second analysis of The Daily Show during the 2004 national political conventions and the first presidential debate. She says they found the comedy show contained as much substantive news of the events as the nightly news programs did.
The bottom line is that in a comparative sense, they're equally substantive. In an absolute sense, neither one of these programs is particularly substantive.
Fox's study is the first scholarly effort to systematically take a look at how The Daily Show ranks with traditional television news as a source of political information. While The Daily Show contained far more comedy than the nightly news, Fox says the nightly news contained far more hype than The Daily Show. She says both outlets also aired about the same amount of video and audio footage of the news. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Centrum Silver. Centrum Silver multivitamins are age-adjusted. They help protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver, take along with a healthy diet and exercise. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Tahiti Village. Northbound Jamison at Filer, there's an accident reported. Route T at Central Midland Bridge, look for, and Lavity, there's closed due to for the fall. They're doing some construction there. There's a number of area construction projects going on in and around the St. Louis area, metropolitan St. Louis, and St. Charles County. So use caution and slow down through those work zones. Otherwise, all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays as the final push for the morning rush hour gets underway. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Tahiti Village. Why haven't you called Tahiti Village yet? You've heard Tanya Roberts on the radio offering couples complimentary three-day, two-night hotel in Las Vegas. So call today, 877-57-VEGAS. That's 877-57-VEGAS. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Sunny, high in the upper 60s today, clear with a low in the upper 40s this evening. Saturday, warmer, sunny, high in the upper 70s. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, it's clear skies and 47 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 48. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. To you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up. Get to me. We have much business to tend to. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up and get to me. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about. I keep talking about this Mark Foley piece. I know that people want to reduce it into, well, there are other issues out here. There are. We have the worst week in Iraq yet. The worst week for bombings since the U.S. invasion. Since Monday, 14 U.S. soldiers have been killed, mostly in Baghdad. We've lost 2,729. This is this other troubling feature of what's going on in Baghdad. Check this out. Iraq on Wednesday demobilized an entire 800-strong police brigade and quarantined them in a U.S. military base where they will receive what a U.S. spokesperson said. They will receive anti-militia, anti-sectarian, and national unity training. They've had to take 800 members of their police brigade because they have been collaborating with Iraqi people and turning on Americans in Iraq, defending themselves. They've quarantined their own police force to deprogram them, to try to get them to fight the way that they want them to fight. How bad is it? Normally you fire people like that. Normally you let them go. If you find that your cops are helping the people that the cops are supposed to be fighting against, you don't deprogram them. You get rid of them. That's how bad it is in Iraq. And this Foley issue, it's significant for a lot of reasons. Because the same disdain that this party, this House, this Senate has shown for the babies that are in the Page program, the intern program, the same disdain is the disdain that they show for the babies that they use for fodder over there in Iraq. Those are also predatory actions. Those are also predatory actions. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Stay with me. I'm not done here.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Is it just me or does anybody else find it obscene that we have politicians talking about an election outcome when children have been abused? Why are those things even coming up in the conversation? Listen to this, the snow job. Play the third one, Howard, the third one that you played for me, because listen to what he says about when asked questions about what the pedophile predator Mark Foley and the pedophile predator protectors Dennis Hassert did. These are questions that are being directed to him, and this is what the snow job says.
As people get ready for an election, they're going to ask themselves what's important to them, safety, security, the economy. They're going to ask those questions.
Huh? We're talking about abuse of children. Oh, that's right. Snowjob said these were naughty emails. No. These were acts of abuse directed at children by a 52-year-old Republican Congress pedophile person. Naughty emails. people are going to ask them, and listen to the tone of the voice. The tone of the voice is one of those snotty little, I know better than you all. You all are just a bunch of stupid people. And when people really look at it, they're going to just dismiss these naughty emails. And they're going to make their decision on something else. Huh? Huh? Do number two, please, Howard.
As I said, I'm not going to play the hypothetical game, but I do think that you got to find out the full truth.
We have the full truth. It's in text messaging. It's in emails. The full truth is that there was a pedophile, predatory congressman that the Republican, head of the Republican Party, the number three person in line from the presidency, if something happens to the president and the vice president, three or four, he knew that Foley had sent an email. He knew that the parents had said that this is an inappropriate email. They knew that. They did nothing. We know the whole truth. Predatory congressman, after children, concerned parents, and nothing was done. Jeff, on a car phone.
Liz, I don't think we really do know the whole truth, because I think this is just the tip of the iceberg.
We know enough for people to get fired, don't we, Jeff?
We know enough for people to be resigned, impeached, whatever. How these people have no shame, why they would not resign, it amazes me.
Oh, it's just breathtaking. Dennis Hassert said, I did nothing wrong, and he said it to our face.
It's a damn shame.
Oh!
All I can say.
Oh!
And when will the people wake up and demand some accountability from their leaders?
He said, the buck stops here. I take responsibility for this. Where's the punishment here?
Are you familiar with the Jeff Gannon story, Liz?
Sure I am.
Like I said, I think it's just the beginning.
Oh, Jesus, God. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Liz.
Hassert. You want to?
First of all, learned of this last Friday when we were about to leave Congress.
You're a liar.
And that's the first time that I heard of the explicit language. When that happened, Republicans acted, and the guy's gone.
Wait a minute. You see that? You see how this was written by some PR hack? He said the first that he's heard of it. What was he referring to? Not about the predatory pedophile actions of. Mark Foley. Oh, no, that's not when he said the explicit language. In other words, I didn't read that stuff, that specific stuff, until Friday. What that got to do with anything? You knew years ago about his predatory behavior. Now, okay, apparently he didn't CC you on the text messages. What that got to do with anything? You didn't have to know about the explicit emails in order for you to do something. You had plenty of evidence to do something. You had plenty of evidence to do something. Car phone.
Hello.
Yes. Hello, Mike.
Yes. I think we're both in agreement, Liz, that this Mark Foley, he's a sick person.
Why is he sick? Why is he a sick person?
A sick person, but
no. My question is, why is he a sick person?
Well, I'm not into the gay or homosexual crowd or
so
whatever.
He's sick because he's gay. He's sick because he's gay.
Oh, and he's going after whatever. But
wait,
you know,
wait a minute, Mike.
You know the age
Mike,
of consent in Washington D.C. at 16
Mike,
years old. So
Mike,
does that
Mike,
make him a pedophile?
Mike. Let's back up just a little bit, and I will get to that because we have about 6 minutes here to have a conversation about this. You say that he's sick because he is gay. Is there any other reason why he's sick in your world?
Well, if he's just obsessed, if he's obsessed with sending text messages, then
okay. So he's sick because of the internet and text messages.
Got a problem.
Anything else?
He needs to take care of it.
Anything else is he sick about besides text messages?
Maybe he might be an alcoholic too.
Okay. Okay. So he's sick because he's an alcoholic. He's sick in your world. He's sick because he's an alcoholic. He's sick because he likes text messages, and he's sick besides because he's gay. Anything else? Anything else, Mike, that he's sick about?
Age of consent in Washington.
So he's not. Wait a minute. So he's not sick. So he's not sick.
So he's not. If somebody's sending an 18-year-old girl in Missouri text messages, does that make him a pedophile?
Wow, Mike. So he's not sick because he is preying on 16-year-olds. Do you have kids? Do you have kids, Mike?
Big thing is,
Mike, you have children.
20 hours this week.
Mike,
on this,
Mike,
you need to worry
Mike,
about famous public
Mike,
schools are going to go bankrupt.
Hey,
in the
Mike.
Year.
Hey, Mike, do you have kids?
And
do you have kids,
over
Mike?
By the state and
I bet they don't talk to you, do they? They don't talk to you, do they?
Oh.
Do you have kids, Mike?
You need to.
Do you have kids, Mike?
Do you have?
Oh, see, sweetie, you don't want to talk. Mike doesn't want to talk and say that he has kids. So in the world of Mike, don't be like Mike. Don't be like Mike. Because Mike is saying 16 is the age of consent in Washington, D.C., so who cares? And here's the sick. Here's the other sick part of Mike. Please don't be like Mike. Mike is so twisted in his concern and connection with the children of the world, so disconnected with humanity, that Mike is saying that because Representative Foley is gay, and because Representative Foley was predatory, directing his predatory behavior towards a boy, who cares? That your sexual orientation means that you cannot commit a crime against a gay person. That's horrible. Please don't be like Mike. Please don't be like Mike. Does anybody think that Mike gives a hoot about the St. Louis children in public schools? Of course he doesn't. Because in Mike's world, it's okay for a 54-year-old man to go to a high school, walk into a high school, and start hitting on 16-year-old girls. In Mike, please don't be like Mike. And the rest of the Republican Party that thinks like him, the age of consent is 16. So that means, Mike, in your world, it is cool for a 52-year-old man to go take your daughter, your 16-year-old daughter, to the prom. It's okay if a 52-year-old man is in the lunchroom, kicking it, hanging out with, partying with 16-year-old children. And you know what? This isn't about dating. This isn't about having sex. This is about predatory behavior, just like rape is not about having sex. It's an act of violence with children, against children. It is a crime. It is a moral, people should be morally outraged. I bet Mike was one of those people who lost his mind about a blue dress with a stain on it. But you don't see him losing his mind about a real act against a child. And if you want to know why Mike thinks the way that he thinks, listen to Dennis, then you'll understand why Mike thinks like he thinks. Hit it, Howard.
I'm deeply sorry that this has happened. And the bottom line is that we're taking responsibility because ultimately, as someone has said in Washington before, the buck stops here. When Congress found out about the explicit messages, Republicans dealt with it immediately, and the culprit was gone.
This isn't about explicit
messages. We're now trying to correct the problem. We've asked the Ethics Committee to look into this matter,
and
we asked for criminal investigations to be opened by the Justice Department, the FBI, and the state of Florida.
So my question is, okay, and the winner is,
He confronted the member, and the member said that he would stop doing that, asked him if there was any other messages. He said no. He said, don't do it again. You know, that's what we did. The parents were happy.
What the? We went to the member. Notice he didn't say his name. We went to the member. What was the it that he was doing? Because, like Bill Clinton says, it depends on what your definition of it is. It is. And the it is pursuing children. We asked the pedophile, did you do it? He said, yeah. We said to the pedophile, don't do it anymore. He said, yeah. We said to the pedophile, you got anything, any other evidence? He said, no. Parents were happy. We were happy. Done and done. The same thing that the Catholic Church said. When they were brought time and time evidence of the babies being abused and the babies being pursued by the pedophiles. Same thing that they said. We told them to stop. They said cool. We were cool. Everybody's cool. So after all of the Catholic Church evidence about what happened with the priest and the babies, in the year 2006, it was enough for Dennis Hassard to say, ask the guy. He's like walking up to the guy that's stealing in the store. You stealing? Yup. Will you stop stealing? Yup. Done and done. Nobody called the police. You walk up to a thief in the middle of the 7-Eleven with the stuff in his hand saying, you stealing? Yup. You gonna stop stealing? Yup. You have any evidence of any other stealing that you've done? Nope. And nobody calls the police. Done and done in the world of a Republican who wants to keep a majority. Is that good enough for you? Why weren't the police called? Every American's responsibility is, from the party of responsibility is, when you see a crime happening, you're supposed to report it. Did they do it? Nope. I'll be back.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home, every single thing that you need to make your home a palace, everything that you need to rock the world that you live in. Get on over to Sears at 3425 Union, 3425 Union, 3425 Union, and tell them I told you to.
Not since the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s can I think of any bigger initiative that will empower African Americans to have control over their life than the stem cell initiative.
Dr. Michael DeBon, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine, explains why medical experts, faith leaders, and community leaders urge a yes vote on Amendment 2, the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative on the November state ballot.
Diabetes, sickle cell disease, hypertension, these are the type of diseases that occur in our families, in our community. Stem cell research could lead to cures for those diseases and many others. Please, please join me in voting yes on the Stem Cell Initiative to ensure that all Missourians will have equal access to future stem cell cures. Thank you.
This voter information paid for by the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures. Sandra Oss, Treasurer.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Oh, Lord. Turn on the television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's wrong, but we got to.
Keep your head up, baby. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. Larry, good morning.
You know, I'd like to say one thing. These pedophiles out there, and especially in Washington, D.C.,
they need to leave them kids alone. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Leave the kids alone, please.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, that, I mean, that's fundamental.
And one other thing, Ms. Brown. I like I heard this guy recording about the police coming over your house and coming over to his house and cussing them out. I'd like to hear that recording over there, man. You know
what
I'm
saying? All right, we're going to do it. Thanks for your call.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Daryl.
Liz, thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
You know, it's unfortunate when we put truth away and embrace a deceptive lie such as pedophilia. Mm. That's such an ugly act.
Mm.
And the same people wanted to tar and feather Michael Jackson, but for a political
upper
hand.
You know what, Daryl? I completely forgot about what was said about Michael Jackson.
Beautiful.
That's a brilliant compare and contrast. Absolutely. Because they cared about the babies, right?
Absolutely.
They cared about the babies.
Tar him and feather him.
Yep.
Put him in a refrigerator and put him in the ocean.
That's a fact. And then take all his money. Absolutely.
For what he was accused of doing. Mm-hmm. We know what this fella have done.
He's admitted it.
Yeah.
He's admitted it.
Have a pleasant day, Liz. We're in trouble, really. And it's sad to say that we're in danger in this country. We all need to be in sackcloth and ashes.
Mm.
It's crazy. You have a good day.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. William.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, this is truly a mess. It reminds me of what Thomas Jefferson once wrote. All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. The Republican Party has brought forth tyranny to these United States, in the last 6 years that they've been in office. And you have good, right-minded people like one of your last callers. Normally, that person would be a good person. Normally, that person would uphold children and protect the child. But when you start putting power, Republican spin, and all this foolishness into it, that person's mind becomes skewed. And they don't care even if a party, I'm not even going to talk about those emails, but they're sick. You can be sick, and that kind of a person with that kind of a mind will still go along with you. That's dangerous. That is truly, truly dangerous for good people to remain silent and do nothing.
And you know what's funny about this, and not funny, haha, but funny from the perspective of the Republican Party. According to Robert Novak, who is a rabid conservative Republican man and a columnist, the one that leaked the name of Valerie Plame, he said in one of his columns, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, he said that he was told that Mark Foley came to Dennis Hassert and other members of the Republican leadership and said, I want to step down because my sexual orientation, I'm concerned that it's going to harm the party, my sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. Now, the Republican Party said, no, we know what your sexual orientation is, and we want to keep this seat. If you step down now, we're in danger of losing our majority, so we want you to stay. Now, what do we take from that? We take that a party that is so twisted that it has such contempt for people that support them, they've whipped people up they've gone to the worst part in their base and whipped them up with a anti-gay, agenda and telling them and pushing the issue that gay people are horrible, they're the reasons for mm-hmm. everything, but the joke is on the people that are being whipped up because clearly they don't care. Clearly they said keep your seat because our majority is far more important than your orientation. We ain't tripping on that. So you know, who's the joke on?
Liz, and the last thing about this, and here, they're not paying attention to this right here. They would care more about keeping themselves. So the people that they are around in power and powerful than people like you, me, and one of your last callers there.
Okay. People like any, like everybody but them.
Yeah. Yeah, they care more about that.
Than anybody. Than the people they represent, than the issues they say that they represent. The only thing it's about is keeping themselves in power.
And they have proven that they give less than a fart about anybody else other than themselves.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. Carphone, Mick.
Hi, just wondering, other than inappropriate, was
Mick.
Any law actually violated with Mr. Foley? I mean, he never laid a hand on anybody, right?
And you know what? And that's a great question.
Was any law violated?
Well, we don't know because they never went to the police.
Oh, so you're calling him a pedophile without knowing?
Oh, no, I'm calling him a pedophile because a 52-year-old man is going after, has admitted to, pursuing a 16-year-old sexually. Yes, I'm comfortable in calling a man who admitted to doing that a pedophile. Whether or not he will be convicted in the court of law is a totally different thing. He's confessed to the crime. He's confessed, sweetie. He's confessed.
To what?
He's confessed.
An inappropriate letter. He's it was inappropriate, wrong, bad,
sexually,
but no law broken.
Sexually pursuing a 16-year-old by a 52-year-old. I know in your world, I'm sure that's not a problem.
And here's
the thing. One more time, I'm gonna say it. One more time.
For your call,
I'm gonna say one more time.
Go ahead.
That the fact of the matter is that we don't know if this is illegal or not because hold on, I'm not finished yet. Chill yourself just for a second. Because the people who you defend, the people who matter to you, never took it to the police. They were so concerned about keeping their majority, it didn't occur to them. I see what I believe is a crime. Let me, as the moral majority, report this to the police and find out if it is the crime that I think that it is. And you know what, Michelle? There's no parent. There is no brother or sister. There is no aunt or uncle. There is no person in America that, if a 52-year-old person is pursuing a 16-year-old child in their family and in their world, whether they actually got to have sex with them or not, is not going to act on that as the crime against morality that it is. And out of all of the people, is it a crime for a 50-something-year-old man to have sex with a 20-something-year-old woman by the name of Monica Lewinsky? Did that stop anybody in your party or in your world of raising the morality of that? And, by the way, it wasn't a crime. But that doesn't do it. That does not take away from the fact that our children are supposed to be protected from predators. And it is a predatory adult who, 52, is a predator. An adult who writes nasty, sexually desirous emails, text messages to a child. Let us not forget. I know the Republicans want you to forget. Mark Foley has admitted that he wrote those nasty messages to a child. Done and done. Done and done. He has confessed. I feel very comfortable when the person who is accused of murder confesses to the murder. I feel very comfortable in calling him a murderer. I don't know why you wouldn't. Has he been found guilty in a court of law? No. But if you, without being beaten into a confession, confess to that, I feel comfortable in saying that you are. Because you've said that you are. 1-877-920-WGNU.
And this isn't one of those Jean-Benet Ramsey cases where a person confessed to a murder that, and the proof is that he didn't. The evidence that we have the DNA of the text message in front of us. We don't need DNA to prove whether or not this man had, this 52-year-old man has pursued a child sexually. There's a confession there. Whether he's had sex with the child or not remains to be seen. That will come out too. He says he hasn't. I don't believe him. I cannot say that he has, but I can say that he's abused children. Because I can read. That's R-E-A-D. I can read. 1-877-920-WGNU. Cell phone.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
D!
Keep on beating those drums. Because the guy should go to jail. You know, it's a shame that they got that 16-year-old law in Washington. That should absolutely be changed. But we should absolutely be outraged.
Whether the law exists or not.
It is absolutely wrong.
It's wrong.
And, you know, they tried to make an issue of Monica's name with Clinton. I mean, not her name, her age with Clinton.
That's a fact.
And she was 22.
Okay.
And they really tried to make that a big issue.
Okay.
So this should really turn over the world.
And it doesn't.
Keep on fighting about it.
All right now. Thank you, Dee. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. We ain't done here. We ain't done here. Stay with me.
A day of family fun is yours at the 38th Annual Lebanon Fall Festival, Saturday, October 7th in Lebanon, Illinois. Old-time blacksmithing and wool spinning, over 100 artisans with crafts to buy, music, dancing, delicious homemade foods and beverages, and much, much more at the 38th Annual Lebanon Fall Festival, Saturday, October 7th. Take exit 23 north from I-64 or exit 21 south from I-70 to downtown Lebanon, or call area code 618-537-8420 for more details.
This is Reverend Tucker. Please join us on radio station WGNU 8 into 9 each and every Wednesday night, 920 on your AM dial. We hope that you will be blessed by our broadcast, The Gospel Sounds, every Wednesday night from 8 into 9. Thank you so much.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggard. Don't touch that dial. Step away from the radio. Why? Because I'm next.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. What's your number, baby? My name is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of things to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
This is Josephine.
Yes, Josephine.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
I'm calling this morning to let it be known I've been virtually attacked by ACORN. I've been accused of stealing a purse from the head organizer. I'm letting everyone know the racist act that has been placed upon black people at ACORN. I'm not going to talk too much about it, because I've got to get some more facts together, but I want everyone that's listening to know that ACORN has worked the people diligently. Now, everyone is being laid off, terminated. This is a racist act against our community. We have diligently, for months, worked on the Give Missourians a Raise, the Minimum Wage Act. There are those that has taken it upon themselves that's running the ACORN chapter at this moment, Brian Montague, and some of the other central managers of ACORN. They have taken and flipped ACORN over to being white.
And you know what, Josephine, I've talked to Ken McCoy about this, and I'm going to be doing a story on this, so let me get back to you on this so we can fully expose this, okay?
That's right.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
I thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's going to be an upcoming story, so stay tuned for that. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. Earl, good morning.
Yeah, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I got a question. Some of these people, motors that call in, defended this accident of this guy. Could they possibly pedophile themselves?
Mm.
But also, I've deep picked up, she may remember some, now when Clinton and Monica Lewinsky situation, they said that Clinton was a powerful man with authority that took advantage of this young woman.
Okay.
Remember that?
I sure do.
So I think this definitely fits in the same category.
Oh, it's worse than that.
Yeah, it's worse. Exactly.
It is so much worse. It is so.
Yes.
Because what's going to have to happen is that entire program is going to have to be shut down because the Republicans cannot be, Congress cannot monitor this. The Democrats cannot get information from the Republicans. The Republicans are not giving out information, are not reporting crimes. So then they need to shut it down because the babies cannot be protected.
Now, what was this special special legal team that they set up to do for Bill Clinton, the 2 years they spent, what was it?
Investigating
that?
Star's investigation, absolutely.
What do they call it?
I forgot.
Maybe they need to do something like that, a special prosecutor.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me, Kevin.
Yes, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I just called. It seemed like these people calling in, talking about how it's legal to talk to a minor 16 years old in Washington, D.C. But the point is, weren't some of these pages from other states? Can they be prosecuted?
No. The crime takes place in the jurisdiction where it took place. If they're in Washington, D.C., then Washington, D.C. is the jurisdiction.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's how that is determined. But that's not the issue. The issue is not what the age of consent is. The issue is whether or not it is acceptable in anybody's world of whether a 52-year-old man can pursue a 16-year-old for sex.
Let me tell you something. My daughter, she's 21 now, and when she was 14 and 15 and 16, you know, I didn't want little boys touching her.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So what the hell I want a grown man, a 54-year-old man, touching my daughter for?
Pursuing your daughter.
Pursuing her, touching her, or my son, or whatever.
Exactly, your son or your daughter, and where are the people? Parents send their children to Washington, D.C., to be pursued by 52-year-old men who know that they can get away with it because they're part of a party and an organization that will keep his dirty, illegal secret.
And another thing, Liz, is that we, you know, this party, that's all they talk about is moral values.
Right.
And these same people, this same pedophile, he was voted against gay marriage. He voted against. He did
well,
all this.
Well, no, no,
stuff.
No. Also, this man who is got to be extraordinarily self-loathing. He voted to keep gays out of the Boy Scouts.
I guarantee you, this guy's not gay. That's just an excuse. I guarantee you, he's not gay.
Mm.
It's just an excuse they made up. I guarantee you, can't find no other man that he's been with.
Mm.
It's always little kids.
Mm. He's a pedophile. He's a pedophile.
Okay, thank you, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me, Frank.
Yeah, Liz, have a question.
Sure.
How do the Democrats square this issue with Foley with their feelings towards the Boy Scouts. Not wanting homosexual Scoutmasters and not wanting homosexual Boy Scouts.
So what's the contradiction?
The Democrats are far homosexual Boy Scouts and Scoutmasters.
What's the contradiction, Frank?
Well, what is the age of a Boy Scout, Liz?
The age of a Boy Scout can be as young as 6 years old.
No, you're wrong about that.
Okay, well then I don't know the age of a Boy Scout. What's the age of a Boy Scout?
Starts at 10 and a half, 11 years old.
All right, 10 and a half, 11. So your point is what?
10 years old.
Okay, so your point, what's the squaring that needs to take place, Frank? I don't understand.
How can you be upset about Foley when you're not upset about a Boy Scout master dealing with 10 and 11-year-old kids?
Well, Frank, you don't understand the difference
between... Explain it to me. Explain it to me,
the difference is that we have a 52-year-old man.
No. Explain my question.
I am explaining it to you.
Don't say the question.
I'm
explaining it.
If you'd hush up and listen, you would get your explanation. It's not a soundbite. It's not a soundbite.
You're going to give me a line of bull.
All right. I will explain it to you. See, so when the Republicans get them, they have such a short attention span. And they can't settle down long enough to listen to an explanation as opposed to a soundbite. I'm giving you an explanation. There are a lot more words in an explanation than a soundbite. What you've said is really profoundly shocking. That in your world, you cannot distinguish between the act of a 52-year-old man pursuing a 16-year-old child sexually. That's a predatory act. And then a gay man, just like a heterosexual man, working with children. In your twisted world, you think that, you believe, which defies all logic, that simply because you're gay, you are a pedophile. That's sick and twisted. Because I guarantee you that you know more men in your life that have done things bad to children that are females than you do that are men and boys. The reason why the Democrats that deal with this distinguish those issues, one is a crime, one is not. To be a gay member of the Boy Scouts is not a crime. Just like to be a heterosexual member to want to work with little boys is not a crime. To be a male who wants to work with little girls is not a crime. The coach of a soccer team of 10-year-olds, a male coach of a soccer team of 10-year-old little girls, it's not a crime that he wants to work with little girls, even though he is sexually attracted to women. If a heterosexual man wants to be the coach of a 9-year-old all-girls soccer team, that's not a crime, even though he likes women. Therefore, it is not a crime for a homosexual man who likes men to be involved in the Boy Scouts. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Sad and twisted. Razur.
Hey, Liz, how you doing this
morning? I'm outstanding.
Boy, it's tickling me, this one, the way this is going. You got all these people calling in. Now, you got this one guy, Mike. You tried to explain to him.
I did explain to him.
What his problem was.
I did explain to him what
his
problem
was. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And what I saw there with him, you know, I've always been taught that birds of a feather flock, flow, or run together. I am of a mind to believe that this man has some pedophile activity going on or believes in it one way or the other. Now, as for the other thing I want to talk about, remember this Homeland Security press secretary?
Yes.
You remember what they did with him? They arrested that man for internet activity.
That is correct.
For the same things that Mr.
For the same, using the same words that he used.
Same words, same activity, same photographs.
That is correct.
And making the same approaches.
That's exactly correct.
They flew all the way from Florida to arrest this man.
That is correct.
Now, what is the difference between what he's done?
Because his arrest doesn't change the majority of the House and the Senate. There you go. Thanks for your call.
Okay, Liz. Have a good day.
You too. Listen, folks, I feel like it's time. I do. I feel like it's time for something. time to get the big barrel out and to roll the barrel and to pick out the winner for the Liz Brown Because We Care package. Because we care. Because we care. Let me roll it. Let me roll it. Let me roll it. And the winner is Lewis Haynes. Congratulations, Lewis Haynes. Your package will be waiting for you. Expect a call from me. Congratulations. And next week for everybody else, 1-877-920-WGNU. Louise.
Liz.
Yes, ma'am.
Where is all the Christian people at that's worried about partial birth abortion? That's what they think about their kids?
Once you get them here, you're on your own. You're on your own. Once you get them here, you're on your own. J.W.
Hey, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I just wanted to weigh in real quickly because I think that guy mentioned what I was going to say. You know, when I look at that Dateline show, fortunately, those guys are there. And they don't get to commit what they thought they was going to get to commit. But when they walk out that door, they get arrested for the words that they used over the internet and who they tried to pursue. And so, I mean, that's what this is about. I mean, it's the act. The fact that you don't get to carry it out, hey, that's a blessing for all of us who care.
But it still messes up children. What you've done messes up children.
It really does. Liz, it's been a great week, a great show all week, and I'm looking forward to next week. Keep doing what you're doing.
What a sweet thing to say. Thank you so much. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I'll be back same time, same place on Monday. Stay strong.
Hey, the progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me. Below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.